So the town that this happened in, the werewolf incident, this thing rampaged through a town?
Yeah, it rampaged through a little res town. It started up by Right Rocks, that's what it's called, Right Rocks. It started from there, and that's like, that's about like 10 miles west, 18 miles west, or north of Roosevelt. And it ran all the way down to Fort Duchesne, and the cops just was going after it. And that's where it all began, was coming from Right Rocks. And then it goes to Fort Duchesne, which is the next one, right? That's where it was all doing its thing, knocking over trash cans, dogs barking and everything. And then it would just keep going. And yeah, it was pretty crazy. They couldn't believe what they were chasing. He's like, it's a freaking werewolf. And they heard that on a scanner, because one of my family was listening to it. And my son said it was really crazy, because he could just hear all of that commotion going on down there and stuff. So it was crazy. I was like, I don't believe that. But everybody has different views of what happened at that time, you know. So, yeah, it's really crazy. And I don't know what it could have been. They said it was probably a skinwalker, but they said, no, it wasn't. It was big. It looked like a werewolf. Yeah.
What do you think it was?
I believe them. It must have been a werewolf.
And in Ute culture, is a werewolf, is it akin to a skinwalker? Is that pretty much what it is?
I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. I mean, this is a huge, skinwalkers, they usually tend to turn into something that's just the elk, deer, whatever it may be. And they just, you know, that's just the size of it. But I've never heard of anyone turning into a werewolf or anything like that.
Yeah. Nothing wolf-like.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Because
I know in the Navajo tradition, that's a very common thing.
Yeah.
But you, the Utes, are actually, that's not something that's commonplace to you guys, the skinwalker, the turning into that.
Maybe. Who knows? I've never heard of it.
Yeah.
You know, they turn into coyotes,
you know. Oh, yeah.
And stuff. But you got to be very careful, too, because people do not speak about that here. I shouldn't even speak it here, but because they tend to know who you are. You can't say anything in front of anybody about stuff, because you don't know if that person's one of them.
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. After I did my show, and Anthony can attest to this, I did a show. Was it the Wolfmen of Texas Wolfmen, or was it?
Yeah, I think it was called Texas Wolfman.
Yeah, I got threats from a couple different people who claim to be werewolves from my hometown. They were like, just don't talk about it. Stop talking about it. We're asking you nicely, you know. And that was the first email. And I showed Anthony, I showed my wife, and I was like, what do you think? You know, what is this? And then I got a message, you know, from a Facebook messenger that was there one day, and then the next day it was deactivated. And it was another person that seemed that they typed different, like they looked like they didn't articulate quite as well. And they was kind of a threat. And I was just like, okay. And they just said, look, leave us alone. We'll leave you alone, but stop talking about this. They asked me. Now they said it again, but this time it was more like or else type thing, you know. And that's been months ago, not a year, over a year ago. And so I haven't had my heart or throat ripped out yet, so I feel, you know, pretty confident. But, you know, I have my own little tricks too, so you never know. I'm just kidding, folks. I'm not going to turn into a were-alligator. Oh, I gave it away. Everybody knows what I am now. I have my own deals that I, you know, that I have my own little parade that I dance to, you know. And so I do. I take my nunchucks and I throw the stars and whatnot, and I do some kung fu, and that's they just go away from me. Now, seriously, I believe in that. I've always felt very uncomfortable. I went through the Navajo territory on multiple occasions because I've had to drive back and forth to the Southwest, always against my will. But my wife's probably at home going like, okay, anyways, I had to go to California because it's not like my favorite place, but I had to stop. I got so tired, and right outside of the Navajo territory, I know where it's at, you know, and I pulled off this rest side, and I was like, I'm going to take a nap here. And the next thing you know, I see the largest raven that I've ever seen. And Anthony, you were with me.
Yeah.
You were asleep. And that thing was right on the hood. And I opened my eyes. I thought it was a vulture. And I kid you not, it was a raven. And ravens are huge. They're like gigantic crows. I mean, it's just this, and they were just everywhere. And so I got out of my truck and I was like, get off my truck. I was shooing them away, you know. And I look right in the distance, and I see this weird looking, I guess it was an elk. I mean, it was just, it was in the distance. I couldn't see exactly in the early morning haze whether it was a deer or an elk or what, but it had this huge rack. And I look, and I said, that has to be an elk. And then it just went over the little ridge. And so I just was like, okay, maybe I'm imagining that, you know. And so I look, I turn around, and all the ravens are gone. And I don't know where they went. And so then I go into this, like, rest stop or whatever, like, further down. Like, I got in the vehicle, and it took off. And we got to this rest stop. And I decided that that's where I was going to take a nap, because I didn't want to stay at that first place because it just seemed too ominous. It seemed too weird and desolate. So I get there, and as soon as I drove in, there were just a bunch of these blackbirds everywhere. And they even had one jumping around the bathroom. And I was like, what in the heck is going on? And so it just felt like I felt uneasy. I felt uncomfortable. I felt an imbalance. And I felt like like there was just something not correct. I don't know. I don't like stopping through that area. I don't like driving through that area. I just feel like, you know, and I've gotten so many weird stories out of that area that it's just, you know, I just don't like it. And so I just decided, well, I'm just really, really exhausted. So I waited till like it was daytime, you know, and I went to sleep for a couple of hours. But it was, you know, I didn't get very good rest, and that was the most time I ever spent. You know, usually I just drive through there as fast as I can. I just don't like that area.
Yeah.
I get a very uncomfortable
feeling. Yeah, it's pretty. Yeah, it's very spooky through that area. They said do not pick anybody up either.
Mm-mm.
Just go pick nobody up. Don't spend the time there. Just keep on going. Yeah.
I learned my lesson the hard way on that one, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I was driving through there one time, and I see this guy. He seemed harmless enough. He was standing on the side of the road. I mean, he was very native looking. He was holding a deer head, and he was covered in blood. So that should have been the first clue that I probably shouldn't have picked him up. But then he got in the truck, and he kept like stabbing the dashboard and talking about his brother. Yeah, my brother made good head cheese, and he kept doing that over and over again. Oh wait, no, that was a movie I saw. Never mind, folks. I'm getting them confused. I'm just kidding. That never happened. I opened the door and kicked him out.
The scene from the Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
Yeah. He pulls out a pocket knife and starts cutting his hand, and acting all crazy.
And he's like, my brother makes good head cheese. Yeah. You know, I don't know if my brother makes good head cheese, but his head looks like a big block of cheese. He's got the biggest head in the world. But yeah, him and my dad both have like gigantic heads. I don't know what the heck that is. I mean, but I just figured I filled my body out to match my head, and they didn't. So that's what I think. But my brother's got like this gigantic baby head. I always tease him. No, I never picked anybody up on the folks. I didn't do that. I did not pick anybody up like that. That's crazy. I wouldn't do that. I've heard too many things. I mean, me and my wife were on our way to San Antonio one time, and there was like this guy broken down, and I honestly wanted to stop and help, and I was just like, Now I'm not going to, because I just, you don't know, man. You just, nowadays it's hard to, if it was just me, or maybe me and a couple of my guy friends or something, you know, it ain't gonna bother me, you know. I mean, what's he gonna do? You know, he's armed, we're armed, or, you know, whatever this case may be. I'm not gonna be, you know, putting myself in a vulnerable position, you know what I mean? But like, if it's just me and my wife, no way, dude, because I don't want this person sitting behind my wife or sitting next to me and, you know, and doing something. You just can't trust that, you know?
Yeah.
You know, people are crazy. I know. And then they can look like the nicest person in the freaking world. And they could have bodies in the freaking freezer in their house or something. You know, you just don't know. I just can't, you know, I just can't trust it.
Exactly. You never know.
Never know. So what else do you got for us? You got anything else?
Okay. Speaking of big birds.
Okay.
There was one time we were outside, me and my husband were kicking back. We're on the porch and we were just, you know, just talking away, you know, telling each other how the day went. And my husband looks up and he goes, "What is that?" And I was like, "I don't know." So I look up and there's these birds, big, big, huge birds. They're like five or six of them. Huge. We seen them coming and they were coming from the direction of Fort Shane. And I was like, how come these things are huge? What are they, you know? And they were flying over us, and you just don't think of getting or nothing. Our phone was on a charger at that time, and we were just like, what the heck, you know? So my husband goes, "Let's go in the truck and let's go," because he had his keys. So we got in the vehicle, we backed up, we started going, and he's like, "Don't take your eyes off of these things." So we just kept going. We was looking, going through the town, we were looking up, we was watching this big old, like, it looked like a California condor or a thunderbird. What we seen, its wingspan was very, very big. I mean, they had to be like 9, 10. It was really crazy. We're like, "Doesn't anybody see this?" You know, and so we were going. And their wings, just like, you know, like eagles, they have their wings and they come down and, you know, and it's, you know, really gliding. And these ones didn't do that. They went up and they would come down really slow, like it was just huge. Like they didn't really flap, 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 you know. It was just like it was really crazy. And we were like, "What?" So we was following them, and they were really just going, floating type of thing. And we were like watching them. And then we ran out of road right where they were going, because they were going over this field. So we stayed and pulled over and we were watching them. And you know how you look at some bird and you look at in the distance, you know, you see it and it just disappears, you know, after so many mile or whatever. And these ones didn't go out of sight for a very, very long time. That's how big they were. And we
and
were
you said
like
five or
watching
six of
them. There were five or six of them. Yeah. And they were flying over our place, or were Roosevelt, and we were wondering, why isn't anybody seeing this? Because we were sitting there looking up and watching those things, and they were black and you couldn't see the features on them, you know, or anything, you know, the eyes or anything like that. And they were just like, oh gosh.
They looked like ravens, but they were just 9 to 10 foot wingspan.
Yes. They were big. Oh, my husband, I asked him, how big was those birds, those things that we saw that day? And he said they had to been 9, 10 wingspan. I mean, that's how big they were, Yeah, they were big. And
did
like
they look
I
mean?
Said, I don't know. We didn't even see no. They were just jet black. We didn't see anything. We just saw them coming. And then we just saw, we were looking at the wings. That's what we were looking at. And we were like looking at it. And the body was big. And when it, the way they were like soaring. And then when they did their wings and stuff, it went up and up and up. And then it would come down really slow. Like they were so heavy. And they just kept cruising on, like minding their own business, going to, they were on a mission. I don't know what they were doing, but yeah, they were. And then, like I said, they, you just seen them. And like I said, we ran out of road. We saw them going and they just disappeared like way later, like, oh gosh, miles. And yeah. It was really a sight to see, really a sight to see, and we will never forget that.
And so, how do you know that no one else saw them? How do you know nobody else saw them?
Because they were just like driving around.
No, nobody was reacting.
You know, sometimes people don't look up, you know? And so, yeah, we were like, why isn't anyone seeing anything? Maybe they did. I don't know, but we were just looking at it and looking up at them, and they were like going over the, you know, they went right over Roosevelt. You know, we're like, what the heck? You know, are we the only ones seeing this? Because we didn't see any like people pointing or anything like that. But, you know, we really just seen that part where people just going about their business, and then we just kept. You know, he's like looking and driving. And yeah, they were pretty big. And like, oh, it was crazy. It was really crazy to see something like that. Never, ever have I ever seen anything like that. And that's what really gets me, seeing something like that. And I don't know. I don't know. They look like pterodactyls, as we were thinking that. Really looks like pterodactyls, you know?
So they didn't look like ravens. They looked almost like reptiles. Like,
I don't know. They weren't reptilian or anything. It just resembled that thing, that dinosaur thing.
But it had feathers.
Yeah. Yeah. It did have feathers, yeah.
And that's crazy because a lot of, they're saying now that these dinosaurs, a lot of the, especially the ones that were flyers, had dad feathers.
Yeah.
They look like pterodactyls had feathers. That's what they're, and it's weird, but people see these pterodactyls that look like actual pterodactyls, the ones that of the pictures we've seen growing up, you know, them having like no feathers, you know. I don't know. It's a weird thing. You know, they say they had feathers. They say they don't have feathers. I don't know. That's weird that you would say pterodactyls with feathers, because a lot of the scientists, I think the consensus now is that that's what they had.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've gotten stories out of South Texas, too, of those. So you had a rampaging werewolf go through the
reservation town.
Reservation town. Fort Duchesne, right?
Fort Duchesne, yes.
Yeah, and then you had your encounter with the thunder. With could have been Thunderbirds.
Yeah, could have been.
Yeah, and then you had shadow people. So you've had a plethora of things that have gone on. And yeah. I tell you what, man, I don't think I would want to hang out with you out there. I don't think I'd want to be out there. I can't imagine what that would be like. I just can't. I wouldn't want to be out there. Hanging out, yeah. And something like this.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that happen here, especially the southern part. There's a place called Lake Tawabe, and you go on this dirt road, and everybody that does come back or in that area, they see UFOs or apparitions of their loved ones.
Wait, apparitions of their loved ones?
Yes.
Do you have any stories about that?
Yes, I do.
Oh my gosh. Well, let's hear it. I didn't know about this.
Okay. Okay. There was this, four guys. They were going down the road. They were going hunting. And as they were coming back, it was getting dark. And one of the guys had lost her brother not too long ago, maybe 2 months before they were coming up the road. And as they were going, they saw an apparition in the front of them. And they were like, oh, there's somebody, and it must be somebody broke down and they need a ride or whatever. So he went and they stopped. And this guy that was driving seen his brother standing in front of him. And he was like, that's my brother. And this passenger guy was telling him, don't go to it. Stay here. Don't go to him. He goes, but that's my brother. So he gets out of the vehicle and he's like trying to, he kind of goes a little ways, like the front of the hood. And this guy, the apparition, was like, keep coming. He says, come here, my brother. He goes, come over here and hug me. And they were listening to this guy saying that. And the guy was like, he kind of stood there and he was like, some trance or whatever it might have been. And the guy's like, the passenger goes, get in the vehicle, get in the truck now. He says, and he was just like swearing at him, trying to get him out of this stupor he was in. So when he got back into the truck again and started to put it in gear, this thing was just sitting there telling him to get out. Get out of the truck, come over and give your brother a hug. And he was just standing there and he walked off. And the guy was so, you know, shocked to see his brother standing in front of him. And he was like total apparition. They said it was like a total figure. No see-through, no nothing. It was solid. Yeah. Crazy.
And this happens like regularly, like.
No, this is the first time I've ever heard of that happen. And there was one time. Oh, this is crazy. One time, my brother was camping in this area, and there's an old cabin, old house, I guess, that was down there. And my brother said that he was going to stay down there overnight while the others took off and went home. He said, I'm going to get up early in the morning. I'm going to go and get up and go and hunt some deer or elk. I can't remember what he said it was that season. So he said, I'm going to stay in this house over here. And then when you guys come down, I'll be already out and hunting. But I will meet you so-and-so place. And they're like, oh, are you sure? It's like, yeah, I'm going to hang down here. So he had a sleeping bag and everything because they had spent a few nights down there. So he grabbed some snacks, whatever. He was laying in this, there's like a living room, and then the doorway living room, there's a fireplace in this living room. And then you go over to the left and there is a little room there that, you know, you could like leap in. So he decided to go in that because the door wasn't on the door frame. So he went in the other room so that the air wouldn't hit him, he said. So he was sitting there, he was laying there. He was thinking, what am I going to do the next day? Where am I going to go? He was just, you know, thinking of a strategy and all that stuff. And then he's like, he heard something coming up the path. And he said it sounded like a horse. And when he was like, what the heck? Somebody coming in on a horse or what? It sounds like a horse, you know? And he said that then he heard stomping, like little feet stomp, and he heard a whinny, like, you know, and he's like, somebody's here, you know? So he's like sitting up in his sleeping bag, and he was, you know, looking, and he's like, I can't see anything. And then he said that he heard some footprint or footsteps coming up towards the door. And then he could see, because it was kind of like a little bit light, like it, I don't know. He said it was a little bit of light there from the moon. And so he's like, he saw this guy coming in, and he said it looked like a cowboy. A cow guy, you know, a cowboy. And he leaned down, stood in front of the fireplace, and he started a fire. He started a fire, and he couldn't believe that he was sitting there watching this. And the guy, the cowboy, looked over to the left and looked at him, and he just looked at him. And he was sitting there drying his, you know, putting his hands against the fire and everything like that. And my brother was freaked out. He said, I don't know what the heck that was. He just sat there. He didn't want to move. He didn't want to breathe. He didn't want to do anything, he said. And then when he was doing that, the guy got up and he walked out, and then the fire died. The fire was gone. And then he got on the horse, and the horse went away. And the next morning, he said, when he got up, he went to go look. There was no remnants of ashes or anything like that. He went outside. There was no hoof prints or anything, or footprints, nothing. Yeah. And he said he was totally freaked out. Never went down there for a long time.
Yeah. Imagine.
Yeah, because a lot of things happen in that area. UFOs, everything. Yeah, even UFOs follow people when they come back home from that area.
Yeah, when my cousin did the show about the reservation, the Wind River Reservation up in Wyoming, when he did the show about that, it was going to be a three-parter, because one of the stories he was going to tell were about UFOs, and we never did get to even get into that. We just never got a chance to go back, and we're gonna record with him again, because he left a lot of meat on the bone. But there's a, you know, he spent a lot of time out in the reservations, and so, yeah, and so he's got a lot of stories. There's a lot of weird stuff that goes on. I mean, it's definitely a higher level of activity than people would suspect. Why? Yeah, I don't know what that is. I can't tell you. I don't.
Yeah. There was a UFO incident that happened here a couple of years ago, probably 3 years ago, and it was by the reservation. Everybody had seen this light, and they said it was a blown transformer, but everybody was like, no, it was not a blown transformer. This was something else. And it was near the Skinwalker Ranch. And they said that they seen it. Everybody seen it. I just heard about it. And then later on, like the next week after that had happened, it was printed in the newspaper. And they said when they went down to go check out these, where it landed and stuff, they saw chicken footprints down there.
Chicken, where it landed. Chicken footprints.
Yeah, chicken footprints. And so they said it was something like that. It was like a chicken footprints or something like that.
It would look chicken-like or something, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was three-toed.
Three-toed, yeah. I got this one off of someone, and it's one of those things where I was working in Las Vegas temporarily. I was there, you know, I was spending some time. And I made friends with a security guard at this casino. I used to go off of Rainbow Boulevard. There were these two casinos right there, and I used to go hang out at Texas Station. And there was a guy that I got to know, and he was former military, and he had told me that he knew a guy who worked as a security. He did a security detail. And I guess it would be that guy's old roommate did security at Skinwalker Ranch at one time. This is what the guy told me. And we started talking about weird stuff and weird, you know, things. you know, a supernatural phenomenon. Let's put it that way. It was a conversation that was started by this bartender, female friend of ours. And the next thing you know, we're all sitting around talking about it. And we had gone to, I think, eat breakfast somewhere or something. This was a long time ago, back in the 90s. And I just remember this guy telling me, this was before I knew, like, really anything about Skinwalker Ranch. And he said, there's this place out in Utah, and I guess his buddy's old, or his old roommate's buddy had done security there. And he said that it was a very terrifying place, and that there was a story. And I think I read this, too, like, after that. I remember going, like, wait a minute, I heard this, you know. So I can't remember if I read it. And then they told it to me, or he told it to me, then I read it. But I know I read it somewhere. And there was a story of this reptilian-looking creature that had been, that had crawled up into a tree. And these two dogman-looking creatures, the only way I could describe them, upright canids, had it treed. And the people on the ranch started to drive out there to investigate it. And when they came upon the scene of these two, there was a big commotion of these two upright canids, that they bounced. They went to the tree line, and they see this reptilian-looking thing up in the tree, and they get out, and they go toward it, and it jumps down and disappears. Like, it looked almost like it went down to the ground or something. It was weird. Uh-huh. That's the story that I was told, but the story I think that I read was a little different. It was just like there was this dog man that was at the base of a tree, and there was something in the tree, I think is what I read, and that, it, that the footprints resembled a three-toed, like you said, like almost like an avian-type creature, or like maybe a reptile. Because, you know, birds and reptiles are very similar a lot of times with their feet. You know, it's weird to have this. You can see that there's a connection, you know, between them.
Yeah.
And but and I can't remember, like I said, if that story, that's what the story that I was told was different than the story that I read, but they were similar enough to where I knew that that was the same incident. So if you could maybe talk to him and have him do some clarification on that, because I don't want to, I've always wondered about that, because I know one time I was given a story by some people who were driving through New Mexico, and they saw, and it was near the Four Corners area. And I think it was like from New Mexico going up, like kind of crossing over into Utah. You know how there's the Four Corners right there?
Yeah.
And so they saw something run across the road that looked, they were like, whoa, it looked like a giant lizard, but it looked weird, almost like a lizard man running on all fours. And they said that it didn't look like it was moving that fast, but it was, which is weird. And then they see these two wolf-looking creatures, like, running behind it.
Oh.
And so, yeah, I've always wondered that. Like, they told me that, and I was like, can you give me any more details? All they could give me was a description of what these things look like. They couldn't tell you anything else. I mean, that was it. It was just, they saw that. And I was just like, okay, yeah. And I kept misplacing where the incident, you know, I finally went back and I looked. I said, I got to look at my notes here. And yeah, it was, you know, it was weird. But I don't know what to make of that. I mean, I've had some weird stories. I've gotten some weird stories. I know that I had gotten a story out of Florida of these dogmen supposedly killing an alligator, like taking an alligator out of a pond near a golf course and literally killing it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I told that story
on another podcast.
It depends on the dog man. And I guess it depends on the gator, supposedly. You know, this guy, I don't know if he was being, you know, he was like 60 years old. I don't know why he would just say in a retirement community, hey, I'm just going to make up a story. But he and his wife told me this story. And I retold it on a particular person's podcast, but it was like this they heard this horrible, like, just howling one night, like, and it sounded like something being killed or attacked, and there was a giant, really large gator that lived in the pond on the edge of this golf course, and then they're a retirement community, and then supposedly few days later, they found that gator like just tore apart and like you know, thrown all over the place. And so It was a large gator too, like a very large male that had taken up residence there. And I asked the guy what he thought happened. He said, "Well," he goes, "I think them wolves killed it. Like they went in there and they got revenge because they think that it may have killed one of the smaller ones, and so they went in and they killed it." So there seems to be some sort of I don't know if there's like maybe they got smoke or something, you know, maybe they got beef. I don't know what their deal is, but every now and then I'll get stories of reptilians and these werewolf type creatures clashing. But you'll also get stories of them working together. Like I've gotten abduction stories of them working in tandem with other beings, you know. And so I don't know what we're dealing with. It seems like when you open the door and you walk through and you go down that slide of the rabbit hole, you grasp it, and sometimes you'll get something. You'll think, "Hey, this is an answer here," and then it'll just turn into another question. So.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so hard to fathom what we're actually dealing with. And so you so you had this, all these incidents happen, but you've never actually seen a dogman, werewolf, or Bigfoot.
No, I just heard Bigfoot.
Yeah.
He, you know, I just heard it. I smelled him. And the dogman, werewolf. I asked Linda Godfrey one time if there was any reports of any dogman in this area, and she had no idea if they had any. I know there was one person that did say they had an incident in one area, and so I don't know. You know, if there's anything like that up here, they're just skinwalkers, and what they saw and heard in the community, what they you know, shot at, didn't, it was a werewolf, you know?
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And there was another thing that my ex-husband had seen, and it happened by the river, and this river has so many things there. It could be apparitions, it could be, you know, animals you haven't seen or something like that. You know, this stuff that is just right by this area is pretty much, I guess, say haunted. Anyway, my ex-husband, he and his friend was going hunting, and it was deer season, and they decided to go down in this river bottom and go hunting for a deer. And it had rained that night a little bit, and they came, and they crossed it goes down to like a road, and there's fence on both sides, two bushes on each side. You cross this little canal over the wooden bridge, and they go down and they park. They decided to go and walk from there. As they were walking from there, they heard all these coyotes yipping and hollering, and you could tell that they was chasing something. So they just didn't mind it. They were used to it. And as they went and found, they killed a deer. They said they didn't want to get it. It was dark, so they didn't want to get it. They said, "Let's just come back for it tomorrow. I'm pretty tired. Let's just go home." So they decided just to leave the deer there. So they got in their vehicle. They heard these coyotes yipping up again, and they're like, "They're really chasing something," you know. And so they got in their vehicle, they backed up, and they say we're going up this little tiny hill and over the wood bridge, and it kind of went down a little bit. Now this road, it's sandy. It's loose dirt, sandy, and then the both side they have fence on each side and these big brushes, like willows or whatever, on these both sides of the fence, and some had these stickers where berry bush or whatever. They're really tall, and they saw an eye shine at first, his friend says, stop. There's something over there. It's eye shine or something. And then the coyotes, they stopped yipping. And then this thing jumps out over this fence into the middle of this dirt road. And it was big. It was taller than their hood, they said. And it was a Chevy truck. He said it was taller than his hood. It was gray, a little bit of silver. He said that was in there, a little bit of gray, but it was gray. And he said he had little tufts on his ears. I remember that he said that. And then his eyes were a different color. And he said it looked like a back of the thing looked like a hyena, but when it went more over in the back of it, it had like a lynx tail. And then when it went down, it had like big legs and stuff. He said it just looked at him. It didn't blink or nothing like that. It just looked at him, and their eyes were just like big. And he said it was like two olives in a plate, you know, looking at my friend, because he said his eyes were so wide open, you know. And they said it just leaped from there, the willow bushes on the other side of this fence. And so they waited for a little bit before they were going to get out. So they got out, they took their gun, they got out, and they were, and they put the lights on bright. They went out and they were looking at, and they said the paw print wasn't even a paw print. He said it was a big thumbprint. It didn't have no claws or nothing showing or anything. It was just a big old thumbprint. And so they kind of looked at each other like, what the heck was that? You know, they could, you know, their minds are all freaked out and everything. Then all of a sudden, they said the coyotes started really yipping, but they sounded different. They just yipping, but they sounded different. And they were just all over. They were howling. They were all over. And he said, I've never heard so many coyotes at that one time. So they decided, they kind of got kind of worried, scared. They got back in their vehicle. And as they were, they went. And they came home to me, and they was telling me about it. And I was like, oh, no, you know. They said, we'll go back and see. And I was like, I don't know if I want to go there. But when we did go back there, they had kind of ran over the print and stuff. But you could see the tip of it, of where the print was. And, yeah, it was huge. Yeah, it was his hands are big. And it was bigger than his hand. But they said it was just weird to see something like that. It looked alienish, is what they were saying, the way the eyes were and everything. And the way they looked at him, he didn't see no teeth. It didn't snarl. It didn't do anything. It just looked at him. Yeah. So that was one of the things that he says that he saw strange that came out of that river bottom there. And yeah, they just see phantom dogs down in that area. You can hear cries of a woman crying in that area, you know, just things like that. They're just there. There's a pack of really bad res dogs in that area that are so mean. And yeah, there's things that happen in that river bottom. But he says, this is one thing I never thought I would ever see come out of that. But yeah, it was bigger than that fence. He just jumped right over that fence. No problem, he said. And just jumped into that area and went into the thicket. Yeah, and you could just see the like little trail that he went through. Yeah, it was huge. So I was like, okay, cool. Let's go now. You know? I don't want to be around here. So yeah, we left after that. And oh, and then the deer that they had, they said it was shredded up. The deer was no longer, you know, edible.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was torn up. And so yeah, crazy.
So
that's, go ahead.
Oh no, I was gonna say, so is that conclude your stories, your adventures out there?
There's a lot more stories out here and from other eyewitnesses that have seen some stuff. And yeah, there's so many things that happen out here. But yeah, that's the last one I want to just say, because save some later, I guess.
Save some meat on the bone. That's what I always say.
Yeah, leave the meat on bone and not overdose you on all kinds of craziness. But
well, I think it seems like that's what most of the people want to do is be overdosed on the meth stories. Because like it's like the minute I start to talk, they're like, get cracking, start telling stories. You know, they don't want to hear nothing but stories. A lot of people. You know, yeah. But I like to make the show more, you know, like we're all just talking and having a good time. You know, we're not just out here just robotically telling stories, but you know, it just seems like a lot of people want. But you definitely brought some good stories, and I'm glad that you that we talked and that we were able to get you to come on the show, and hopefully that this does your stories justice, because you had some really good things to say, and it's very interesting. If you don't mind me asking, you don't have to give me your exact age, but around how old are you?
I am 53 years old.
53 years old, and you've lived on in and around Fort Duchesne, that area of Roosevelt, Fort Duchesne. You've lived there your whole life.
Yeah.
So you're very familiar with that, with all the area and the folklore and all that.
Oh, definitely. My dad used to tell all this stuff because my dad used to be a medicine man.
Yeah.
Very well respected. The community knows who he is. He's a very respected man. He ran the Sundance as a chief. He ran the Bear Dance as a chief. Yeah, he was very well respected. So, yeah, he was a very well-known medicine man. People came to him for wisdom and stuff like that. And, yeah, he adopted us. We were, when we were small, he adopted us into the, and so, yeah, I'm very honored that I have been raised by him.
Yeah, I have a buddy who's native, but he's Lapan. And he told me, he goes, yeah, my dad's a medicine man, or he used to be a medicine man. And I was like, oh, really? Like, yeah. And I didn't realize what he was talking about. And so I said, well, what kind of stuff did he do? He's like, well, he sold medicine. You know, basically, he sold his goods or whatever. And I was like, oh, really? Like what? And he goes, well, cocaine and marijuana and stuff. I was like, I started laughing. I was like, okay, all right. Like, he sold bad medicine. I was like, okay, yeah. So he was selling, you know, drugs. I guess in that case, when I was born, my dad was a medicine man too. But, and eventually he quit. But he quit being a medicine man. But, yeah, my great-grandmother. On my mom's side was Comanche, and her dad was supposed to have been a medicine man. And yeah, it's pretty cool that the a lot of the natives didn't have a written language. You know, most of them was word of mouth, and they would pass down the stories. That's how they told. You know, that's how traditions were upheld, was through the stories. You know.
Yeah.
It's sad because it seems like the younger generations are becoming more I see the same thing with like my godson. He's Vietnamese, and I see like his generation getting further away from their culture, you know, getting further away from and it's happening with the natives too. The native cultures are evaporating because the young people don't have any interest in keeping the stories and the folklore alive. You know, and I've talked to some of these younger people. I actually had a guy I worked with, you know, for a while, and he just not interested in the his heritage. I mean, it's weird. It's kind of sad because I think I was taking more of an interest in hearing about the stories and stuff. And eventually I ended up meeting his older brother, who was way older than him by about 15 years older. And then he was a little more, like, he knew a lot more. And then through him, I met their uncle, and then he had all kinds of stories that he told. He's Navajo, but like Scorp is Scorpion's part Navajo too. But they would tell, he would tell me all these stories and all these things, and they had all these traditions and stuff. And I was like, and this other kid that I worked with, and nothing to take nothing away from him, but he just, his interests were literally hanging out at the club and just, you know, driving. He liked to work on and drive fast cars in his spare time. He just did not care to, he didn't care about any play video games, didn't care about the freaking traditions or anything. I mean, it was like,
yeah.
And we're getting, you know, further away from that. I mean, you know, I was talking to a group of young Indians the other day, and I'm not talking about Indians as in the misterm for Native American. I'm talking about Indians from India. And I was at this place called Pinballs that I like to go to, and it's kind of like a Dave and Buster's, but like a lot better. It's here in Austin. It's an awesome place, folks. I'm gonna plug them right now. I'll tell you, they're not paying me, but it's a cool place, cool destination. So if you're ever in Austin, check it out. But I was talking to a group of young guys from India, and we were talking about their history and the folklore or whatever. And I was only interacting with one of them, and the other, it was about five of them at a table. And it was one in particular that we were talking about. He had a shirt on. I think it said Surf the Kali Yuga. And I thought that was pretty cool. So I started talking to him. I said, oh, the Kali Yuga. And we started talking about the Kali Yuga and what it was, what it meant. And it was him and this girl, and they knew all about that and their tradition and their culture and everything. And she actually had just moved back from India. But there were four other dudes there that were all Indian. I believe they're Punjabi. And they didn't know a lick of anything that we were talking about. Like, they had no clue. And I was like, so what do you guys consider yourselves? And they were like, well, we consider ourselves Hindu. And I was like, so I started to talk about, you know, like the Gita, the Bhagavad Gita, and we were talking about the, you know, the different the yugas and stuff, and they had no idea what we were talking about. I mean, it was just like clueless, and I'm like, you talking like these guys were college grads, like three of them, I think, all but two of them were, I guess it would be three of them were college grads, and they worked for computer companies, and then one of them was pre-med, he was still going to school. And we started talking about all kinds of stuff, geopolitics, things like that, because I was kind of taking a break from playing the games or whatever. And I was talking to these guys. This was a while back, you know, and I just remember thinking, wow, I mean, these guys really don't, you know, they don't know much about their heritage. I mean, it's really sad, you know. I mean, regardless of where you're from or what your background is, you know, it's good to know your roots, where you come from, you know, what your ancestors believed, and I think that stuff follows you for generations. And when you run into something that's strange or weird, you know, you're not going to have any idea what you're dealing with at all, because you didn't pay attention when the elders were trying to tell you this is what this is. Because I know from experience, when I was a kid, 15 years old, I thought all those stories of the Hombre Lobo and the Cadejo, and I thought, nah, it's a bunch of bull crap, you know, the Cucuy, La Llorona, La Chusa. There's a boogeyman for the water, for the air, for the land. Everywhere you go, there's a boogeyman, you know, and I thought it was all just a bunch of bull crap. And I found out that it wasn't, you know, and I learned that there's some reasons why the elders would tell you, hey, there's stuff out there. You need to be real careful. You know, my dad's side of the family, when my great great uncles would tell me, stay away from that holler down there in the bottom land, don't go down there. Now, there was a reason for that. You know, and same thing on my mom's side, you know, don't go to certain areas at night and don't go run around playing, because Hombre Lobo, you know, it runs the streets and it'll catch you. And it's basically a werewolf is what it is. And so I had no idea. You know, I was just as ignorant and you know, whatever. So you, like me, you know the truth. You know that these things exist and that they're out there. And it's good that you have told these stories and you keep the traditions alive, because a lot of people won't talk about this stuff too, though. Once it happens, they become ultra superstitious if they weren't before. And they, if you talk about it, it'll invite it, you know. But as a Christian, though, I mean, if you have faith and you're strong in it, I mean, then you're protected. I really, really believe that. Now,
I do too.
I was talking to a lady yesterday from Washington, and this guy from a very prominent Bigfoot show, I'm not going to say his name, he told her that these creatures will not hurt you, that they won't do anything to you. And I'm just like, that is the most irresponsible thing to tell somebody, because even if you looked at it from a standpoint of like, oh, they're just like a wild animal, a wild animal will absolutely hurt you. It will kill you. And if you look at it from like, oh, well, they're intelligent, semi-articulate, you know, still same thing applies. But, and if you look at it from like, they're a supernatural being, supernatural creature, you really don't know what you're messing with. You have no idea. So to sit there and tell somebody that is like just the height of being irresponsible to me. I mean, I just can't imagine telling somebody that, you know, and this person was having encounters and with their kids and grandkids. I'm going like, you can't sit there and tell somebody that nothing's going to happen to them. I mean, because you don't know that. That's a very irresponsible thing to do. Because I believe that a lot of these encounters, I think things happen to people and then they get explained away. And I know, you know, from talking to people, and I'm sure you know this, the BIF, you know, the Bureau of Indian Affairs. The BIA.
BIA.
The BIA. I'm so tired. The BIF, the BIA. So the BIA, you know, that they you know, told my cousin and his friend, you know, like that these things exist, and you know, it's better that you just don't talk about it. They didn't say it like, oh, it's going to talk it up and bring it up. It's just better because you don't have people looking at you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In a certain way, you know, and so that was their kind of their advice, you know, was just don't talk about what you saw, just because that way you're not in the line of fire of being asked questions and things like that. You know, it wasn't about something coming and seeking revenge, although that could be another issue. You know, I think I think it's very interesting that you were hanging around on Skinwalker Ranch and didn't even really realize like where you were at, you know. And so,
yeah, I know.
And that's very dangerous for a Ute, considering that the curse there was specifically for the Utes, you know, placed there. But it was very, very good having you on the show and very good talking to you. I enjoyed our conversation that we had a few nights ago, and I enjoyed the talk we had today, and we had fun.
Yes.
Yep.
And I appreciate that you had me coming on and telling these stories, because like you said, you know, the elders had very good stories. They're there for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what my dad, he talked to us about all kinds of sorts of things, you know, because there are things out there that we have never discovered, or, you know, there's just things out there that will harm us. And that was the reason why he told us the stories that were around. I mean, he used to go up to the mountains, and when he knew that Bigfoot was watching them and stuff with my brothers, he would sit there and say, hey, we're gonna leave, we'll leave you alone, we'll go hunt somewhere else. And so they would, mm-hmm. you know, because they have respect for things like that. And so
I think it's interesting too, you know, when you talk to people, like another friend of mine who I worked with briefly, I met him through Scorpion, but he was Filipino, and he was having like these issues with this, I don't know, like an entity. I don't want to get into it because he may actually tell the story someday. And it was like an entity that was harassing him, and I actually knew what that was, and he didn't. And he's Filipino. Mm-hmm. And so we started talking, and then he goes, well, I'm going to ask my stepbrother about that. So he did. And his stepbrother explained him what it was. And he was like, wow, Josh Turner told me. And I was like, well, and it's weird because he grew up, that's his culture. That should be something that he should know. You know, it was an Oshwing, and that he didn't know what that was, you know?
Hmm.
Yeah. And so it's interesting because I had like when we were talking earlier about Bigfoot, I had heard it being called that name, you know, the Poco or whatever, and you didn't know what that was, you know, and so maybe I was right about that name, maybe I was wrong. If you could, maybe double check and see if I'm correct about that. I don't know if that's correct or not. I might have been saying it completely wrong or whatever, but that's what I was told by someone that is a Ute. And so that may be a mispronunciation or whatever, but I look at all these different cultures and the different beliefs and all the different cultures, and it just fascinates me. You know, it just absolutely fascinates me. And I think that everyone listening at home, do yourself a favor, read, you know, and find material where you can learn about the past, the cultures of the Persians, you know, the culture of the Middle Eastern peoples, the people from India, the Chinese. They have all kinds of amazing stories, you know. Like I said, my friend, the Filipinos have stories. The Australians and the natives there, the Native Americans here, all the way from the East Coast to the West Coast. You know, I'm talking like from the Iroquois all the way to the Algonquins, all the way to the Klamath. I mean, they have stories upon stories, and there's traditions upon traditions, and just you can pour through these stories for hours. And hours and hours, and entertain yourself just learning about these different myths, and then looking at how closely related they are. You can read a Celtic myth, and then you'll see how closely related it is to a Viking myth, and then the Viking myth, how closely related it is to the Native American myths. And you just go, wow, there had to have one time been a beginning that we all shared. I mean, it had to be. Because we all have the same experiences, no matter what culture we are. But I love having people to come on and talk about their experiences from their cultural perspective. And I appreciate you coming on and talking about it. And that's a really cool thing. I'm glad we were able to do that tonight.
Yes, me too.
Did you have Did you have any closing remarks? Anything to say?
Well, the thing I want to say is that listen to your elders, listen to their stories, carry on the tradition, tell it to your kids, your children, your grandchildren, you know, because that's how things you are aware of when you go someplace. Keep away from the places they tell you to keep away from. You know, you really got to tune in to the elders because they know what they're talking about. And so, yeah, that's basically it. Be careful, you know, not every animal or dog man, werewolf, Bigfoot are friendly. You know, they're not pets, no. You know, they're dangerous animals. You know, they're dangerous, and just be careful and, you know, your surroundings, be very, you know, vigilant to those things. And yeah, just be careful out there. Don't seek stuff that you don't want to be, you know, traumatized. You want to see something, you know, and there's a lot of things out here on the reservation that come up, and just, you know, you have to be careful.
Yeah. Be cognizant of your surroundings, and I discourage people strongly from going and looking for these things, but people are going to do what they're going to do. So,
yeah.
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 So,
yeah, that's crazy.
Unfortunate. But I appreciate it from PRT, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for tuning in. Josh Turner and Anthony here with Shotzi. And everybody, we want to tell you thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. Please hit the like button on our YouTube channel. Even if you don't listen to us on YouTube, always subscribe is always nice, and like and subscribe to our channel, our groups on Facebook. And from everybody at PRT, good night.